Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The thoughts of this lesson are probably appropriate regarding any congregation, especially where there are evidences of activity. The lesson serves as a warning and a provocation to self-examination, but also an encouragement and a commendation, as well as an exhortation to every member of the church to be better and do better things in the future than they have in the past. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there contains letters written by Christ to the seven churches of Asia, recorded by John as he was directed to write. Possibly these churches were established directly or indirectly by the efforts of Paul. We know this is true for some of them. We are not to suppose that these were the only churches in Asia, but these are the ones to whom these letters were originally and specifically addressed. The content of these letters is properly applied to any congregation, even today. Have you ever wondered what kind of letter the congregation to which you belong might receive? Very likely it would contain essentially what these letters contain. Each letter is either introduced or includes the words, "I know." Ephesus, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, they all had the words, "I know thy works." Smyrna was told, "I know thy tribulation." Pergamos was told, "I know where thou dwellest." And the point is, Christ knows what there is to know about every church and about every member of that church. He can know not only their actions individually, but also collectively. He can know the hearts of the people, and therefore know their motives. He can speak with authority inasmuch as he is the Son of God, for he knew what was in man, John 2:25. Jesus knows the good things about churches and individuals. He knows their toil and patience, their refusal to endure false teachers. He knows their doctrine, their ways, their steadfastness, and the tribulations. He is aware of their poverty, their willingness to suffer and sacrifice. He is aware also of their love and their faith and their service. In nearly every letter, Christ mentions some good concerning each church. Now, this was not true of all, but most of these churches, he commends those things that are worthy of commendation. He also knows what is lacking. Often we read the expression, "But I have this against thee." Now, there were many good things in Ephesus, but thou didst leave thy first love. He told Smyrna, which mostly was a letter of good words of commendation, that they were in danger of weakening and falling under the pressure of suffering, the pressure of prison. Whereas Ephesus would not tolerate false teachers, the church in Pergamos had some that held to false and erroneous doctrines, even idolatry and immorality. Thyatira also had false teachers in its midst. They had a constant, disturbing, divisive irritation from a faction that was characterized of being like Jezebel. Some have thought this faction was led by a woman. Whatever of that, it was causing many to sin, to eat things offered to idols, to have their hope of salvation taken away from them. And singularly, there was nothing said against the church in Philadelphia, and nothing commendable said about the church in Laodicea. The latter was lukewarm and half-hearted and indifferent, deceived into thinking they were acceptable when they were not. They thought their physical prosperity was an indication of spiritual prosperity. Friend, that's not so. Now, we wish to concentrate in this lesson on the letter to Sardis in Revelation 3:1-6. And before we read the text, let us be aware that Christ is keenly aware of all congregations. He knows about them all. He knows the strong points and the weak points, even to what is in the heart of each member. We cannot deceive Christ, even though we may deceive ourselves and others. He knows what we really are. And now to our text. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If, therefore, thou wilt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now the church in Sardis had a reputation. It was a reputation of being active and alive, possibly mission-minded and benevolent, and quick to respond when a need arose. It was known for that kind of conduct. But the real truth was, they were spiritually dead. And we wonder, how could they have gotten such a good reputation for being alive if they were spiritually dead? They doubtless had many activities in progress. They had a lot going on. They were promoting many things. They were entering many efforts. To others, it seemed that they were, as it is sometimes said, on fire for the Lord. But in God's sight, they were dead. Now, death means separation. It's vanity and uselessness. When one dies physically, there's the separation of the body and spirit, separation from all that this world offers. Spiritual speaking, being dead means separated from God and from His favor. Sardis appeared alive because of great physical activity, but spiritually they were not so prosperous. Brethren are sometimes heard to say, "Let's get something going." Well, friend, if we'll be a faithful church, we must do that. If a church is alive, there will be something going on, and a lot of beneficial activity that God has taught us to do will we be busy doing it. But there can be much activity and still the church not be acceptable to God. That's the point we want to make. We have need for more than just activity. We need to be careful what the activity is, and whether it's authorized of God or not. The church ought not be busy doing just anything. But Sardis seemed to be alive, but it was actually dead. Jesus said, "For I have found not thy works perfect before God." Now the word perfect doesn't mean sinless, it means complete. Work was started but not finished. It was not being carried out to the fullest. They were capable of far more than what they were doing. And while they were doing many things, they were falling short of their potential and their ability. There are many avenues to promote the cause of Christ that they had not touched, and many that they had touched, they quit before completion. It must have been a church where there was a great deal of zeal for getting things started, but the zeal faded in getting things completed. Not everyone in that church was that way. There were those who had not defiled their garment, and they were promised that they would walk with Him in white. There were the faithful few among them. Most congregations have them, and it's a good thing, too. Many congregations might not exist except for the faithful few. It may be well that the good reputation was more because of the efforts put forth by this few than the efforts of the entire church. The implication is that most of the members of the church were not doing their duty and sitting around and let the few others carry the load. Some may have been even hoping to ride on the coattails of others into heaven. They may have been like the elephant and the flea who crossed a bridge on the flea on the elephant's back. The bridge shook and quivered, and they reached the other side. The flea then said to the elephant, "We sure shook that bridge this time." One thing every Christian needs to learn, and that is we all have our duties and cannot go to heaven riding on somebody else's back and their good works. And this problem can be a real problem with most any congregation that seems to be an example of activity. Oh, we have gospel meetings regularly, one might say, but who supports them? Our contribution is growing, but who is giving as he ought? We have this youth activity, this program of interest, first this, then that. In many churches known for numerical growth, they have much activity, but it is not activity that is truly befitting the Lord's church. Some have branched away into entertainment, more of a food and fun and frolic fellowship. Some going into athletics, even building gymnasiums and fellowship halls and spending more time and money and energy taking people to playlands than getting people to know the gospel truth. And this is taking its toll against the real progress of the Lord's church because it is reducing the church in the minds of the world and many members that the church is just another social-minded poor man's country club more akin to a denomination than the body of Christ. Some congregations pride themselves in thinking all is well because they are not worse than others. But others are not the standard. No member ought to feel content because another member is active. We all should ask, what kind of church would this church be if every member were just like me? The truth is, friend, we shall not stand before God in that final day of judgment as a congregation to be judged as a group. The judgment shall be on an individual basis. Oh, yes, the Lord is concerned about the congregation now because they are His. And when the final summons comes, each one of us shall give an account of himself to God, Romans 14:12. But it will be on an individual basis. That day will be a bad day for Brother Do Nothing and Sister Holdback. It will be the doom of those who sat back and let the other fellow do it. It will be the day of undoing for those who were active but active outside the authority of Christ. It will be a crushing day of disappointment to those who thought all was well just because they belonged to an active church when they were not among the active. Or the activity was not by divine authority. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.